Now, we're going to have Tim Cantwell give us a message today. Tim, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, you wired for song?
Yeah.
All right, God bless you, brother.
Thank you. All right, well, it's good to see everybody. I'm so excited to be here with you guys. And since it's my first time speaking in here, we probably need a little introduction because we have been attending the Awanas group on Wednesday nights for the last year. It was about a little over a year ago that I was driving by. I drive DoorDash on the side. And I was driving by and I saw a banner advertising your VBS. And I thought, oh my goodness, we got to check this out for the kids. So for the past year, we've been here as many times as we can, attending the Awanas group. And I want to tell you guys, this church has been such a blessing. I know sometimes we get, as a church, you'll get used to each other, and sometimes you can take each other for granted. But just the amazing teachers that have, our kids are spouting off scriptures right and left from this last year, memorizing the Word of God. And as a parent, to hear your kids stand up and just say a scripture in front of their peers, it's an amazing thing. So I just wanted to thank this church. You guys have really done a wonderful job. Teacher Kevin and Miriam and Bob and Jackie and Teacher Sarah. I mean, there's just an amazing group. And so we really thank you. So this is my wife, Erica, in the front. And I have my son, Benjamin, and daughters, Grace and Mercy. And we live right up near Sierra Tahoe on Highway 50, which is why sometimes it's hard to attend. Not during the summer, but in the winter it gets a little wild up there, as you guys understand. But it's been a blessing to be part of the Awanas group. We had a home church in our home up there. And as you guys can understand, the price of housing, the fires, and the snow chased everyone else away. And so we were sitting at our house going, oh man, well, everybody left. It's just us here. But, you know, God uses us wherever we're at for His glory. No matter what we're going through, for His glory. We should never have an excuse to say, I can't worship you, God. I can't have fellowship because the snow's too high or the people left. And what an answer to prayer when we saw that VBS poster after we had just lost the whole church, to drive by and all of a sudden be welcomed into a family. And Eric and I have been ministered to also. This area has been home to me for a long time, even though I didn't live here full time. My dad brought us up here for way too long, each summer, just camped out on the river on Highway 50, just growing up, loving life, and whining the whole drive back to the Bay Area. Why do we gotta go back? Well, then around 2001, I started working up here quite a bit, running camps up over the Highway 50 summit, winter camps, summer camps. And God spoke to my wife and I about moving up here in 2019. And that's how we ended up here full time. But I don't want you guys to ever discount what God wants to do in your life because of the things that have happened in your life. I believe each one of us here has gone through difficulty in our lives. Things that bring us sorrow. Things that make us ask questions where we wonder why things are the way they are. And sometimes we go through things that, if we're not careful, will cause us to exclude ourselves from God's work. And many other people in the church wouldn't fault us even. I know this family's gone through this. I can understand why they're pulling back. Oh, I understand this pastor went through that. Now I understand why he's pulling back right here. If only this hadn't happened, I would serve the Lord. If only this person hadn't left the church, we would be doing great. For Eric and guys, it's been a tricky season. I have to single dad 16, 17 days out of the month while Erica obeys the Lord's command. I never realized the Bible said this, that children are to take care of their parents when they get older. I didn't realize it said grandchildren also. It sure does. And so Erica, two and a half weeks each month, goes down into Sacramento and watches her grandma as her mom passed away. And wow, what a season where I have had to wrestle, as a minister. We're all ministers. As a minister, saying, God, how do I do this without my wife here? I mean, I never realized all the things that mommies do until mommy leaves, and all of a sudden, I'm like, okay, kids, daddy's going to use the restroom. Stay away. It's amazing how they know. You go to the restroom and knock, 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 daddy's. But no excuse. No excuse. As I prayed about what to speak about this morning, God put this on my heart. Emmanuel in our pain. Emmanuel in our pain. If we go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, we see this reference of Emmanuel. Isaiah 7:14 says, "All right then, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin shall conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. So what does Emmanuel mean? God is with us. And what I'd like to speak about this morning is Emmanuel, God with us, in our pain. God is with us always. Jesus said to his disciples, "I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." He's with us always. The Bible says in Psalms 34:18, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed." Many of us have gone through seasons, whether we're in it right now or in the past, where you're crushed. Something happens in your life that you say, "I could never have planned for this to happen. My heart is crushed. My spirit is crushed." We love God. Doesn't mean we all of a sudden become an atheist. We still love God, but our heart is just wounded so deep. And we cry out to God saying, "God, where are you in this pain? Where are you in this season that I find myself in? It doesn't seem fair." Kevin was preaching about a month ago, and he talked about how Satan tricks us into believing everything we feel in our mind. I remember specifically you said that, how Satan tricks us into thinking that whatever's crossing through our mind must be reality. "Oh, Lord, I can't serve you because my mother-in-law passed away and my wife's gone." And we have our whole list of things to say why we can't do something, why we can't let God use us. And yet, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirit are crushed. If we don't live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, and if we're not careful, we can find ourselves in a rut of sorrow. And we've all either been there, or had a spouse, or a child who's been there. It's that rut where, man, you see life outside the rut, but you're sitting here saying, "That's not the life that I imagine myself living. I never imagine myself living over here or living without this person in my life. I never imagine myself not having a father in the home. I never imagined the way I raised my kids for the kids to walk away from the things of God." And if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves in a rut of sorrow. Some of us are fighters who just, we go through difficult times and we just keep pounding away, just doing the same things for the Lord that we've always done. And yet we feel that burden getting heavier and heavier and heavier. We're serving you, Lord, but we've forgotten who our true love is. We've forgotten to look to where our help comes from. Our help comes from the Lord. Either ways, the burden doesn't go away. and neither does the pain, and we're stuck with questions. God, why did this happen to me? How could you let this happen to me? Speaking on the subject of questions, I grew up with two younger brothers. So I'm the oldest, kind of the protective one, the serious one. And the middle child, Josh, he's an accountant. And the youngest is the wild man. The youngest child, he's a singer. And I grew up, I didn't have a care in the world. I thought things were tough. Oh, my goodness. I had a mom and a dad who loved me. I'm a pastor's kid. My dad, we were in church just about every day of the week with something. Drama practice, choir practice, this service, that service. And you're kind of just going through the motions of life, not realizing how good you have it being in a family that has love. And I would look forward to so much just coming up to the river and mountain biking, rock climbing, all these things. And but one time when I was in my mid-20s at the church, we had two young ladies pass away. They were in my brothers in my age group. And they died rather unexpectedly. No one was prepared for it. One of the young ladies who passed away, her mom was a leader in the church. She was such a blessing with the children. And her mom was one of these ladies that is so Christ-like, you just go, wow. I didn't realize God made people like that. That just this lady and my brother Joshua are two of the most Christ-like people I know. And to see this woman suffer with the loss of her daughter and the other family who lost their daughter, it was a real, like, shock to my brothers and I. And one day my youngest brother, Benji, he walked up to me, and he's a great singer. I'm going to let you hear him sing in a minute. But he said, Tim, I wrote this song, and I want you to hear it. So when he would write songs, he would just wiggle his fingers on the piano. He didn't know what he was playing. So he needed me to look at his fingers and go, okay, you're playing that? No, okay, it's that. So he would always show me his songs first. But he goes, Tim, I want to show you this song because I'm worried about it. And I said, Benj, you write great songs. You write better songs than me. What's the problem? He goes, well, I feel like maybe it's not a Christian song. You know, I'm the older brother. Oh, okay. He's the worship leader in our church. You better be writing Christian songs. You know, when this world finds talent, they tend to attempt to suck it out of the church and use it for their own purposes. So, oh, let me hear it. So we climbed up the ladder to the loft at my dad's house, back in the garage where we had our little sound studio. And he played me this song, and the song is called Questions to Your Answers. And he said, Tim, I don't know why these things happen. I can't understand, and I'm worried that because I have these questions inside of me, that maybe it means that I'm doubting God. I said, well, let me hear the song. And as I listened to the song, I was just blown away by, you know, as an older brother, you look at your younger brother as a
baby.
As a baby, no matter how old they get. He was probably 24 at the time, 23, 24. And I'm, you know, he's my baby brother, and I did not picture a song like this coming out of him. So he can't be here today, so I'd like to play the song for you and just let the Lord minister to you. And what I want you to listen to is the wrestling match in his heart. Is Emmanuel still there in my pain? Is Emmanuel, God with us, still there in my questions? Let's listen to the song.
Can I feel you? Can I touch you? Can I talk to you with me there?
Thank you so much, guys.
I don't want to make a sound.
The start of song number one. Get ready. It's a song.
You're going to have to sing it.
Uh-oh. Unfortunately, God gave me a different voice. And if you heard me sing it, you'd be going, I have questions to why this guy's singing. Oh, man. start of track number one.
Why am I drawn to this world? Do you have something better for me? Why do the righteous seem forsaken? Why am I feeling so incomplete? Am I wrong for asking these questions that I have? I only want to know the truth. I know your word has answers, but I still have questions. I guess what I really want to know.
Thank you.
amazing song. Which is why whenever you go sing somewhere, my mom would say, Tim, you go with him. Keep an eye on him. He's 6'2", big muscle, looked like a model. You can imagine after I heard that song how my jaw was on the floor, just thinking, whoa, how did you write something like that? And I told him, I said, Benj, any Christian who says they don't have questions is a liar. Or a newborn. And maybe even a newborn would have some questions as to what they just went through. I said, Benj, we all have questions. It's just whether we've been, whether we had to face it or not. Many of us have these questions that float through our minds sometimes, but it's when the spouse walks the way. It's when the loved one passes away. It's when the doctor gives you the report that you weren't expecting and isn't going according to your plan, and it's a report about your child. It's then when all of a sudden the questions that have you passed off for years, oh, they're in a better place, God is good, all the time. We have all these slogans that we say that are awesome, and yet, man, when those questions are right in our face, oof, we question, is Emmanuel really with us in our pain? 1 week ago, on August 22nd, 19 years ago, we just finished a church service. My brother Benj was singing at a big church in San Jose, and he had a scratchy throat, and they had him singing like 3 or 4 services, and he had like this big, huge thermos full of hot tea, and we were just praying that he'd get through the service. So after the service, we all met back at Mom and Dad's house, and he took off on a motorcycle ride, and we went to a going-away party at a laser tag place. An hour later, we get a call that my brother's been involved in a motorcycle accident. And he's over at Stanford Hospital. And he's been hurt. And my mom and dad come and pick us up, and we race on out to Stanford. And I'm like a bull in a china shop. I barge into the emergency room, and my name's Tim Campbell, and I'm a minister, and my brother Benji was involved in a motorcycle accident, and I want to see him. I want to lay hands on him. I don't care what he looks like. And they're like, okay, sir, calm down. We're going to go check on him. Okay. And I'm pacing back and forth, and I'm just praying, God, this can't happen to me. It can't. My parents serve you. My brothers and I serve you. This can't happen. And the nurse comes out, or the receptionist, and says, yes, you can see him in a minute. He's getting an MRI done right now. And I start jumping up and down in the hospital, praising the Lord, saying, if he's getting an MRI, that means he's alive. And as I'm jumping up and down, the neighbor says, excuse me. And I go, yes. She goes, your brother's name is, I forget what the name was, but I'll just make one up. Your brother's name is Fred, right? And in that moment, I knew that my brother had gone home to be with the Lord. And it's weird because the questions that sometimes creep up into our life are not the questions we ever thought that we would have. It's very simple to sit on the row of a church and watch someone else suffer and say, this is what I would do in that situation. This is how I would get through this. But all of a sudden, when the questions, is Emmanuel really with us in our pain? When that question faces you, you have to wrestle with things you've never had to wrestle before. My brothers and I played a lot of sports, and we never cussed. Why did we not cuss? I never heard it. I lived in a home where I never heard swear words. And my football buddies would always say, Timmy, when you drop a pass or fumble the ball, why do you never swear? I go, do you swear in French? They go, no. I go, why? Why don't you swear in French ever? I don't know. It's not my language. I go, well, I didn't grow up with these swear words as a language. So I don't do that when I drop the pass. I just hit the ground or something. I don't know. I watch a lot of Ray Comfort videos, and it always gets me when he gets to that question, have you ever used God's name in vain? And that's like the one question where I always go, no, haven't done that one. But when I walked out those hospital doors, by then there was a whole group of people gathered there. Everybody's hugging and crying, and I couldn't be around people. Because all of a sudden, I was wrestling with something I'd never had to wrestle with before. I had questions that were scaring me. And all of a sudden, as I was walking out down the side, I felt cursing the name of God bubbling up in my heart. It breaks my heart to say that. And I was so afraid of what was bubbling up, what I could feel wanting to come out because of the pain that I was in, that all I could do was pace back and forth, singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. And I was pacing back and forth, just singing that one song. And all of a sudden, I looked up, and there was an old African-American lady sitting on a bench who had been listening to me sing the whole time. And when we made eye contact, because back then I didn't like people hearing me sing. I was very self-conscious of it. And I looked at her, and she just said, son, you keep singing. Get it all out. It's you and God. Get it all out. Keep singing, son. Don't stop singing. You know, church, we all go through things. In one fell swoop, I lost my brother, the praise and worship leader at our church, and the senior pastor, too, because the senior pastor was my dad. And he said, I'm done preaching. He was on the front row of the church every Sunday, but he said, I'm done preaching. And all of a sudden, I got sucked out of my little happy junior high group. Woo! And I'm here in a main sanctuary with adults, everybody grieving, and I'm having to learn how to sing, and the world falls apart. And yet, church, I want to let you know, Emmanuel is still a reality today. Emmanuel is still a reality today. Emmanuel in our pain is still a reality today. And I know I'm not the only one here who has had to wrestle with questions. Why did my dad walk out on the family? Why did my child suffer through this? Why did my spouse leave me? We've all been through things. And yet Emmanuel is the same today as he's ever been. He doesn't change. He does not change. He's there for us in our pain. Psalms 91, what a beautiful chapter. Verse 1 and 2 says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Church, the pain doesn't go away by working yourself and keeping yourself busy. I know because I saw people try to numb their pain that way. It doesn't go away by moving and starting a new life. There's nothing that takes the pain away, but there is one place where we can find refuge and comfort in the story. And that's with the Most High. That's in the shadow of the Almighty. If you're in the shadow, if you're in the refuge, you're close to him. The pain doesn't go away, and neither does Emmanuel. He doesn't turn and run like so many have done in your life during your moment of pain, where you were having questions to the answers that God has given, and people had turned their back on you. I'm here to let you know today, church, as many of you have found out in your moment of pain, God does not leave. He doesn't turn his back on his children. Daddies might turn their back. Mommy sometimes turn their back. Father God never turns his back. He declares, my son, my daughter, I love you. I gave my life for you. The Bible says in Psalms 139, verse 7 through 14, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Verse 12. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. Verse 13. For you form my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. God desires to be your refuge and your fortress. And he calls us to come to him in those moments. And you know what's amazing, church? Is once you move past the initial season of pain, and life starts to, never goes back to normal, but it starts to settle down a little bit, you miss the closeness with God. If you've ever been through something life-shattering, and you found that place of refuge in the Lord, you miss it. You say, wow, you know, I look at my life now, I'm so blessed with my wife and my children, and yet just listening to that song there, I started crying again. I'm going, oh man, that's my brother's voice. I hadn't heard it in a while in that way. My son was trying to ask me a question. I had to say, hold on, Daddy's melting down here. Man, the closeness with God. When we go before him, we're not even looking. It's not God, I need a new car, I need a new job, I need to do this. It's God, save me. Save me. My spirit's crushed. I don't know that I want to live the life that I'm looking out in the future. And that's one of the scary things, is sometimes when we forget that Emmanuel is with us in our pain, we start to look out at the future and say, that's not the life I signed up for. And yet God is looking and saying, son, daughter, I can use you. You might be the weeping prophet or the weeping whatever, but you know what? I can still use you, son. I can still use you, daughter. Man. We start to understand the heart of Father God each time one of us goes astray. The Bible says in Matthew 11, 28, 30, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We need rest, church. It comes by realizing and living under the shadow of the Almighty Emmanuel, God with us in our pain. This is something that Paul learned very well. Paul is such an example to us of what to do when you go through trials, when you go through things where you go, God, I don't want this. I never signed up for this. I honestly don't even understand why this is happening. But you know what, God? Let's read what Paul encourages us in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 10. At least I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations. A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Church, life changes. Life changes, but you know what? If you roll with it, with what God has set before you, and you say, God, make me a new man. Obviously, we already have a clean heart as a Christian, but Lord, give me a new direction in life. What do you have for me now that my life has been shattered like this? oh man, all of a sudden God starts to open doors for you to do things that you never thought you could do for the Lord. You'll stand up someday and look at your life and go, I could have never pictured myself doing these types of things. It's so funny. In my family, my dad did all the weddings and my mom did all the funerals. Because my dad was a happy preacher, fire thing on the pulpit preacher, and he would preach that way at the funerals and it'd be like, tone it down, or he'd look at the wrong person, think that's the widow, and everyone, oh, the whole family's so mom, the serious one, did the funerals, and my dad, he didn't even need to know anyone's names, he just did the weddings. Man, I have done so many funerals since my brother's passing. It's the most amazing thing. Pete, you guys understand, as families move out of the area, they still kind of remember the people that ministered to them. I've got so many calls from people way off somewhere saying, can you do a funeral for us? I could have never predicted that. I never wanted to do a funeral. But you know what? All of a sudden you say, God, if the pain that I went through can encourage someone else, so be it, God. If dad walking out on the children is what it takes to get a child to look to God and say, God, I don't have a father. You're my father. Tell me what to do with my life. That's Emmanuel in our pain. It's through sickness and health, just like the wedding ceremony, just like the vows. God, I am committed to serving you no matter what comes. Because what else do we really have besides God? All the possessions that we have can be gone in an instant. But this strength that we have inside of us, it says, for when I am weak, then I am strong. The world didn't give it, the world can't take it away. Situations didn't give it, and situations can't take it away. Therefore, we boast a little bit in our weaknesses. Saying, man, look, this is an opportunity for God to get glory as he raises your life, your family's life, out of the ashes. Church, there's no doctor's report. There's no doctor's report that can squash the anointing on the inside of you. Doctors don't deal with the anointing. Funerals don't take away the anointing. How do I know God still has a plan for you? Because you're still breathing. If you're still breathing, God has a plan. You look at Erica's grandma that she watches, 96 years old. And I'll be honest, there's sometimes I look and I go, God, I'm not sure why she's still here. She's raised her family. But, oh man, God has done so much in our lives dealing with grandma. Helping this old lady who has no one, no family, nothing, except for Erica and her siblings. And all of a sudden I find myself going, man, I'm really going to miss grandma when she goes. I've got to pray with her and talk to her and introduce her to her whole family. You know what? God uses us, even when we don't think we can be used. Church, I'd like to close with this. Growing up as a pastor's kid, I've learned that there's no one exempt from pain in the church. The praise report on my dad is 3 years later, he came up to me and said, it's a long story, but he came up to me and said, Tim, I've been doing a good job with the church. Just let me know if you ever want me to guest speak. Dear dad, I mean, you let me know when you want to. No, we'll just work together. Now you can't shut this guy up. We'll have a birthday, a Christmas dinner, he'll show up an hour late. Oh, you'll never guess. This guy's ministering at thrift stores, Costco's, wherever he finds himself. He's ministering and crying with people and hugging them and taking them out to eat. The guy won't stop, so that is a praise report. I understand that each one of us, no one is exempt from the question, Emmanuel, are you with us in our pain? And as I was praying about this morning and just trying to feel the heart of God for you guys, I just felt God putting on me to tell you guys that do not discount what God can do through you in this situation. As a church and as a family, it might not be the way you desire it to be. You could have never planned for it, but do not discount what God can do through someone who says, like little boy Samuel, Lord, speak. The servant's listening. The heart of a child that just says, I've been asking everyone else, what do you do? Do you want me to do it? Eli, is that you? What? God, speak. Your servant's listening. I pray for Tahoe Community Church, and as you guys fast and pray, and then as the individual families of this church, as you guys pray, then God shows you how to be productive. Oh man, what a blessing this church is and will be in the future. Is and will be in the future. You guys do not discount God's anointing on this church. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you so much that Emmanuel is still here today. Jesus came and was born and died. But he sent us the Comforter. He sent us the Holy Spirit to comfort us, to remind us that you are with us in our pain, that we are not forsaken, we are not alone, we're not rejected. Father God, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that gives us boldness to look at our pain, saying, God, I never wanted to have to go through this in life. But here I am, Lord. I'm listening. Your servant's listening. Here I am, Lord. Send me. I didn't want to go through this. And I don't think I even want to continue to go through this. And nevertheless, as Jesus modeled for us, not my will, but your will be done. Father God, I pray for each family represented here. They all have their story. They all have the road that they walked down to get to here. Father God, I pray for strength for those who are sick. Father God, I pray for a word inside of them. For the doctors and anyone who would question the goodness of God in their life as they struggle through something. Father God, I lift up each parent who's lost a child. I thank you, Lord God, that you're with them. I thank you, Lord God, that you love them and that your anointing rests on them. Each family who has had to pray and pray and pray for a spouse that just won't seem to come to the Lord, I pray for just a strength on the inside for each spouse who's praying for their husband or wife who's not serving the Lord. Father God, I thank you for the Holy Spirit that gives us strength and boldness to walk any road that you set before us. We're not a defeated church. We are not a defeated people. We are a people who have found refuge in the Most High. Father God, I thank you for overwhelming victory for Tahoe Community Church. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.